meeting today will be held under my chairmanship interimly, just for purposes that the chairperson is not here. They are in London today attending an urgent climate change preparation workshop. I'm just holding the fort for today with the hope that you'll be here in the next meeting. Before we go further into the meetings or the business of the day, it would be just proper on our side to do introduction. I'm not sure if we really need that, because we have been together so much. We have not changed faces on our side. Unless if from NEXA side, faces have changed. Mr. CEO.
Chairman, I'd like to ask our deputy chairperson to introduce our delegation.
Thank you. Good morning. And we wish to recognize that we're very grateful for that, to produce before you and to explain to you our annual report and to be able to answer any queries or any questions that you may have in that regard. We understand very firmly that our sense of accountability lies mainly to the Republic of South Africa in terms of its citizenry and also in terms of the government itself. We wish that this would be appropriate for you to consider, considering that it was at the behest of your invitation, but also to understand that we will try to make it as simple as possible. We do have in our delegation today some members who could not make it, but we have had them at the relevant group executives, their delegates having been sent down. We wish that this is going to be a fruitful discussion, and we also hope that you're going to be pleased with what it is we have to present. As with all matters, there would be hiccups, but we are working on them all the same. Nothing's perfect. Having said that, I would now hand over to our CEO, Dr. Rob Adams. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think everyone knows me by now. Rob Adams, CEO of NEXA. Moving to the rest of my delegation, we've got Mapula Letswala, who I think you also know. She was here, been here a couple of times, from NTP, here to represent the subsidiaries, particularly the commercial report. Ntabatse Matube, who is here from an HR perspective. She's representing Dan Moachi, who's the executive. He's not able to be with us today. And behind me is Fanny van Vieren from finance, representing Nashina Dairam. Chantal Janneke, directly behind me, marketing and communication stakeholder relations. And we have two gentlemen from the Department of Energy, Lloyd Ganser and Thursi next to him. And they're here from the delegated by the minister to come and keep an eye on proceedings as well. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. And I think that now takes us to our second item, on apologies. Mr. Kota, the committee secretary, will lead us for that.
Thank you, Chair. We've received the following apologies. The chairperson, Honorable Ntsikilala, who's currently in the UK, Honorable Moloto, Honorable Tinto, and Honorable Matibela, as well as Honorable Dates, the chairperson. Honorable Grelin indicated that he will be joining us at 9:30, Chair. Then just on that letter that we received from the chairperson, he indicated that I must read this correspondence to the members of the committee. Thank you, Chair. Dear Honorable Members, please note the following changes to our meeting today, Tuesday, 1 November 2011. Number one, the budgetary review and recommendations report, which was to be considered and adopted today, will be postponed to next week, Tuesday, the 8th of November. The final draft of the report will be tabled to members during the course of the week in order for members to study it in preparation for its consideration and adoption for next week. Today's meeting will thus only consider the annual report 2010-11 of NEXA. Myself and Honorable Moloto are unable to attend the meeting today as I am in the UK for the duration of this week, and Honorable Moloto is on leave due to personal matters. Please accept my sincere apologies for this. I know we are always keen to optimally utilize the little time allocated to the committee. Kind regards, Honorable S.J. Ntsikilala. Thank you, Chair.
I hope the House accepts the apologies as given, and this will now lead us to the purpose of the meeting. The purpose of today's meeting is briefing by NEXA on the annual report. And without time wasting, we will take this opportunity to give NEXA a chance to take us through the report. It must be noted that primary to the portfolio committee is that money has been allocated to NEXA because NEXA said to Parliament through the Department of Energy that we have got these kinds of things that we need to do for the public of South Africa, and we are asking for public funds to carry out these tasks. And the portfolio committee is therefore responsible to ensure that the money allocated has been used for the purpose intended. And if not, it would be proper to say we have been able to remove the money from here to there because of the following reasons. Now, what we check in an annual report is whether the money that was allocated was used for the purpose that it was allocated, whether all the money has been used, rightfully so, and if not, why? And those explanations must be included in the report. I know the report will cover a host of all other things, but what is key to us is that particular issue on whether, on behalf of the public, the monies we are allocating to you get used in accordance to how Parliament resolves it should go. Over to you with those words, those few words, Nexa.
Technology on. Thanks very much for the opportunity. I believe that all members present have received this copy of the annual report, and you've had some time to go through it. What we've done as a team is distilled what we believe is useful and interesting, constructive from the annual report to present to you today. But obviously, the team stands ready to answer any other questions which might arise from that report and which are not there in the PowerPoint presentation, which obviously can't cover everything. The outline, I'll just go through to remind everyone about the mandate of NEXA, some highlights, then going through different categories of report as presented in the annual report, some summaries of those, the finances, which we'll spend some time on, comes from the new visitor centre. It was the day that the minister opened the centre, and leads into just a very brief description of what the mandate is. NEXA is a statutory body. It's not just an arbitrary company that government funds. It has legislation which brings it into being. This is the Nuclear Energy Act of 1999. There's also a nuclear energy policy which was adopted by Cabinet in 2008. And in that nuclear energy policy, it gives a mandate for research and development in particular, and then to work on developing plans for the nuclear fuel cycle for a South African nuclear energy fleet. And then a range of directives conferred on NEXA by the Minister of Energy. Those, for example, contain instructions to clean up the old strategic facilities deriving from the weapons program, to liaise with the International Atomic Energy Agency, to run nuclear safeguards on behalf of the minister, etc., etc. And this policy and legislative framework confirms NEXA's central role for a coordinated South African nuclear industry. Eskom has an act, NEXA has an act. PBMR, for example, didn't have a defining legislation, so this, and nor does any other company in South Africa apart from Eskom and NEXA have an act of parliament defining, mandating what they do. Some highlights: NTP and the Safari reactor, as well as NEXA's fuel department, which has been manufacturing the fuel at target plates for the reactor, continue to successfully address the global medical radioisotopes supply crisis. What I need to also say is that this presentation covers the year ending 31 March 2011. Things have moved on a bit 6 months down the line. The supply crisis is largely abated, and we have another problem in that the Canadians have come back in as a very strong competitor and undercutting prices. So we're almost into a different phase. It's a typical business cycle backwards and forwards. As a result of the very good maintenance program, we have achieved our best ever operational availability, 101.1%. What that means is that 100% is exactly what you schedule. And into that schedule, you take account of some unscheduled outages. Every now and again, something may happen which causes you to go down for a short period of time. It turns out that hardly happened during the last year, and so we were able to overperform slightly. And we were able to do better than 100%. 100% is the scheduled target, and so the contingencies that we budgeted for, we didn't have to use. We have recorded during the past year 31 technological innovations, and those, some of them are going to be patented, others are there as know-how which we absorb into our own processes. But they range from treatment of nuclear waste to manufacturing of fuel to a range of technical innovations, which is really at the heart of why the government grant gets awarded. That's really what NEXA is about. It's there to produce technical innovation in the nuclear field. NTP Group achieved sales of 869 million, which is 13% more than budgeted, and remains the world leader in the supply of medical radioisotopes, and the only company in the world to produce the key medical radioisotope, molybdenum-99, using a totally low-enriched uranium process. We were awarded a special contract by the U.S. Department of Energy during that particular year, in recognition of and support by the program to fully convert to low-enriched uranium. So the costs that we put into doing this have been offset to a degree trained 487 apprentices, and we also established the Decentralized Trade Test Center that was launched by the Minister of Trade and Industry, Dr. Rob Davies, in February 2011. What this means is that we're not just training people, we are testing people as well, apprentices, because the DTI, who gave us resources over and above the grant that we get from the DOE to set up this trade test center, they realized that this is the bottleneck in South Africa. You train people, but if there's nobody to test them, they remain unrecognized. In other words, there's no certification awarded to them if they can't be tested. And so we've got a decentralized and accredited trade test center at Naxodon. We've now received the so-called ASME 3 certification during the financial year that I'm reporting on. It hadn't happened yet. We received it in May this year. And what that means is that we are one of 180-odd companies in the world that can do this highly technical nuclear manufacturing of pressure components, pressure vessels, piping, valves, etc. So that's 180 companies in the world, not in South Africa, which sets us up very well to be able to manufacture when Eskom and government proceed with the new build of reactors. Getting on to the nuclear technology report, that's a picture from above of the core of the reactor in Safari. Stands for American Standard Manufacturing, Mechanical Engineering Code. And what it is ASME is an organization in the United States which accredits manufacturers. There are different levels of ASME code. ASME 3 is that part of the code that applies to manufacturing nuclear components. Now, there are also similar codes in Germany, France, and Russia. And we decided to go for ASME because what it allows you to do, once you've got it, you get a certificate. And that enables you to bid independently for work. You don't, for example, the French, the RCCM code, which is an equivalent of ASME. If you go for that code, you are always under supervision of a vendor. Whereas with ASME, you can bid independently. You can bid for work in Korea, in Russia, for Rolls Royce, or for anybody. And so that's the reason that it's a certified body for nuclear manufacturing. Getting on to some highlights from research and development, some of the key areas include establishing NFC, there's a bit of alphabet soup here. NFC stands for nuclear fuel cycle. This is re-establishment of fuel manufacturing and fuel preparation technologies. And AMI stands for Advanced Metal Initiative. There are a number of metals, zirconium, for example, hafnium, that have a relevance for the nuclear industry. And we have a grant from DST, which we're able to deploy towards developing those capabilities. Obviously, a common focus of R&D is supporting our subsidiaries. The technology that NTP now is a world leader in was originally generated in Nexa itself. Similarly, the technologies for Pelchem. And so much of the R&D that we do is inwardly directed towards increasing the improving the performance of the subsidiaries. We have a number of R&D programs which are specifically linked to the grand challenges of the Department of Science and Technology. Energy security, they have a program called Farmer to Farmer, which means taking number of programs progressing under that. One interesting one relates to combating malaria. We've very successfully in the past used what's known as the sterile insect technique to reduce the incidence of fruit flies in the Western Cape. We reduced some years ago before we applied this technology, 30% of the fruit for export was rejected. Now it's less than 1%. We're now looking to applying the same technology towards reducing mosquitoes, particularly in the north of KwaZulu-Natal and southern Mozambique in that border region. I can go into explaining that question time if anyone's interested in how it works. I've mentioned the 31 innovation disclosures. We're growing our intellectual property portfolio quite quickly. We've made some breakthroughs in identifying contaminants during decommissioning, exactly what you're dealing with in old facilities that have been there since the strategic programs. Many of those programs were secret, and so there's not good documentation, so you need to develop a way to see what's there before you start to engage with it. Analytical techniques and tools, and then hot cell techniques and equipment which assist us in dealing with radioactive substances. This is a picture of the kind of equipment that Nexa can manufacture and using those codes that I described. This is a tank for Sasol. Some achievements here: successful conversion of Safari 1 to low enriched uranium. We have a PWR, stands for pressurized water reactor, fuel development team to focus on manufacturing of components required for nuclear pressurized water reactor fuel elements. Spent fuels storage study being conducted. Conceptual designs for uranium conversion and enrichment facilities. And then I've described that this is the ASME process. Again, advanced progress on certification for nuclear equipment manufacturing in support of localization requirements for the South African nuclear new build. Technical services. This is a picture of the first consignment of Nexa low and intermediate level waste arriving at foul pits in the Northern Cape. Up until this year, only Eskom intermediate and low level waste was delivered to foul pits. We received a license this year from the regulator to transport waste from Pelindaba as well to that site, and this is proceeding on a regular, I think, 2-3 weekly basis. We send a truck off to foul pits. We have a range of licenses. I've described the transfer of the waste to foul pits. We've done some readjustments and relocating our isotope transfer station. We have a volume reduction facility which we've constructed for the purpose of reducing volume of waste. Nuclear waste disposal. Following the creation of this National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, Nexa was mandated to manage this on behalf of the DOE until such time this institute's been fully established, and we're continuing with that. We maintain the foul pits license conditions, and we've renegotiated the waste disposal contract with Eskom. I've described the assignments of waste, but a significant project that we were involved in. When the Safari reactor arrived and was in South Africa from comply fully with all legislative and license conditions through comprehensive environmental monitoring program. And the annual national key point audit was conducted this in 2nd of August 2010, resulting in an overall score of over 95%. We've engaged with a number of IAEA programs to account for undeclared nuclear material. Many of these activities are very historic, and it's the business of the IAEA to tie up every loose end, and we've been assisting them on an ongoing basis in doing that. We've implemented a behavior-based safety process. I'll show you a graph on the next slide, which has resulted in a major improvement in total injury rate from, and this is a technical calculation as to how you determine total injury rate, but it's an average over 3 years per staff member per annum, and I think the important thing to realize is it's gone down by a factor of 5 over 8 years or so since we began to implement this behavior-based safety program. Joint Planning Committee for Security, Dr. Masanga was appointed as the chairperson from NEXA. NEXA Emergency Control Center, we upgraded that significantly as a result of funding we allocated during the World Cup. We conducted 6 emergency site exercises during the course of the year, developed a plan to assist Madibeng Disaster Management Group, this is the municipality in which NEXA is located, to build capacity to ensure appropriate readiness levels to respond if and when the need arises. Doesn't help if NEXA is ready to respond if the municipality with whom we cooperate is not ready yet. So we've been building capacity there. There's a graph showing you, the dark red graph is the performance, in other words, the total injury rate. On the orange graph is the compliance with safety reporting procedures in terms of the behavior-based safety system. There's an anti-correlation between the two, which is what you expect. Finally, I don't know, maybe you would like to talk about the finances here, if you like, just to create some variety here. Turn your technology on there. I'll chip in if you want.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, at the 31st of March 2011, NEXA Group had a total of over 1,100 suppliers, which are 44% were BBBEE rated, with a level between 1 and 8. Purchases from the suppliers amounted to 29% of all NEXA spent. That's almost 258 million of the spent. The number of BEE suppliers decreased. That's mainly due to some of the suppliers have lost their rating during the year. The NEXA group was also assessed during the year. NEXA is currently a level 4 contributor to BBBEE procurement, and as a value-adding supplier, our procurement recognition was 125% was recorded. NTP, our main subsidiary, was also assessed, also as a level 4 contributor, and their recognition level was 100%. And further, as a value-adding supplier, they are the same as NEXA, also 125% procurement recognition.
In terms of marketing and communications, NEXA has hosted the PSIF, that stands for Public Safety Information Forum, and the VPSIF is the Falls Public Safety Information Forum, to engage with communities in Pelindaba in Falls. During the year, we've had about 2,100 learners and educators from 41 different schools across the country that attended the National Science Week program at NEXA. The NEXA brand and reputation was assertively profiled as a credible source of opinion during the Fukushima incident, where we maintained a 24-hour media team that monitored the situation and fed it back through to the various media in South Africa and obviously inquiries within industry. NEXA also initiated a marketing campaign aimed at dealing with public perception around nuclear technologies, which is largely encompassed in the NEXA Visitor Centre that was launched by the Minister on the 3rd of February earlier this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NEXA Group staff complement increased by 0.12% from 2113 in the previous reporting period to 2179. In the same period, the number of female employees increased by 7.5% from 607 to 653. As at March 2011, the NEXA Group employed 1,020 black employees, excluding contract workers, representing 54.6% of its total permanent staff complement.
Next Executive Management Committee. It's a series of pictures taken from the annual report. It gives you a sense of the composition of the management team. I think one of the challenges that we're wrestling with in terms of transformation is a level just below that. You've got a reasonably diverse, in fact, since this year finished, from the 1st of April, the lady in the bottom right-hand corner is now left the executive team and been appointed as MD of Pelchem, one of the subsidiaries, and been replaced by Dr. Zeblon Vilakazi as the executive in charge of research and development. But the challenge is a level below that, and I think that's the next phase of NEXA is to using the current executive team address that. Lower levels, though, junior management, researchers, the transformation's gone quite well, but it's this middle level which I think one needs to look at quite carefully as we go forward. Nuclear Skills Development Center, as I said in my highlights, we offer a high quality training, highly regarded. We have a relationship with the Department of Public Works. We accepted 100 students from them. The Development Bank of South Africa, which has been allocated money by government to execute training, 150 students. Alstom, the French company, 55 students. DB Thermal, which is a high-tech company and South African company, 35 students, etc., etc. We also have initiated a project through the Safety and Security CETA to obtain accreditation as a service provider for security learnerships. National Key Point Firearms Training accreditation was obtained on 12 December 2010, which will allow for the learnership training of 10 learners through the CHITA in 2011. Commercial report. Go on, first of all, to NTP Radioisotopes, which has company sales of 711 million, 23% above budget, 8% better than the previous financial year. Group sales of 869 million, some 13% more than budgeted. However, things have turned a bit, and the market's not quite as auspicious as it was. Our Canadian competitors have come back in. They're aggressively, on the basis of their government having fixed their reactor for them, undercutting us. Our costs are a bit higher because we use a low-enriched uranium process, particularly into the American market, and different political processes in the U.S. still need to kick in to advantage our product relative to highly enriched uranium-based isotopes which come in from other parts.
Honorable Chair. The existing Safari One reactor is now 46 years old, so it's almost approaching its end of operation life, and therefore a need has arisen for us to start looking at a new reactor. And this new reactor that we are currently evaluating, we foresee that it will be dedicated to production. So it will be a dedicated isotope production reactor and not an MTR. We are currently in the feasibility phase, which involves siting, environmental impact assessment. We're also compiling user requirement specifications, as well as screening and pre-selection of potential suppliers. And yeah, that's where we are at this stage. The feasibility study will be completed towards the end of 2012, and there will be also public participation sessions that will be coming up.
Telchem, which is the other commercial subsidiary, also 100% owned by Nexa, has a business focused in the fluorochemical industry. Volume of 70% hydrogen fluoride sold into Brazil increased substantially over previous years. They got a tender to supply Shell refineries in Australia and is now the sole supplier of anhydrous hydrofluoric acid to Australian refineries, a position achieved through competitive pricing and superior service. We're the sole supplier of anhydrous HF and 70% HF into the Southern African market. HF production record high, 4,659 tons last year, 3% above nameplate capacity of the plant. We continue with global dominance in the supply of xenon difluoride, although there's not a significant growth in sales volume. What is xenon difluoride? It's a substance that you find in airbags in motor cars and other devices where sudden movement is supposed to trigger some electrical response. It's a very valuable substance and deployed across a range of electromechanical devices all over the world. We have a joint venture with Linde, which is a big German electronics group. They informed us in November 2009 that they wanted to disinvest in the joint venture, sell us the plant so we could go it alone. We've been negotiating, been quite tough negotiations over the last while or so with Linde. We're still in the middle of those, but the point is to try to continue to produce nitrogen trifluoride so that we can use the fluorine produced by Nexa, maintain those human capabilities until such time as we would need this fluorine for nuclear fuel for South Africa, for the Eskom plants, etc. Pelchem achieved sales of 162 million, 6% increase over the previous year. Target of delivering a net profit wasn't realized and remains a major target for the year ahead, and I'm hopeful that we'll get, for the first time, we'll achieve this target. We're forming a strategic alliance with the Swiss company Lonza to manufacture and market active pharmaceutical ingredients for antiretrovirals. You might say, what on earth have antiretrovirals got to do with a nuclear company? Well, the answer is in fluorine. Fluorine is a highly versatile atom. You find it in all kinds of industrial applications, and also particularly in pharmaceutical applications. Of the three antiretrovirals in the cocktail currently available on the South African market, two of those drugs contain fluorine, and we're the only company in South Africa capable of managing fluorine. companies can choose various mechanisms to discharge those obligations. They can manufacture in South Africa, they can train South Africans, and what Arexa does is it tries to take advantage of these offsets in order to train people in the South African nuclear industry. Many people from Eskom trained, from Nexa, from the PBMAR company, from the nuclear regulator, etc., etc. However, it's becoming a slightly tough environment because the DTI has changed the weighting of the offset obligations. Previously, training had quite a high weighting. Now, the emphasis is on job creation. And so, localization is what it's all about. And so, it's been harder to get companies to use training in order to get rid of their offset obligations, because for every rand or every euro that they spend on training, they get less credit than for the rand that they spend on localization. And so we need to reevaluate what Arex is doing, and we're busy examining that, whether there are other sources of funding for training, and we're busy with that reevaluation. Corporate governance. This is the NEXA Board of Directors. Chair is Dr. Manny de Picture, who is not able to be with us here today because he has a De Beers board meeting. There's myself as CEO, Dr. Ntutuka Bengu. Advocate Nazreen Sheikh Peramanov has introduced herself. Professor Tokozani Majozi is a professor at the University of Pretoria. Dr. Vilapiam Simang from the Department of Science and Technology. Ms. Nolapumzu Okaka is heads the Finance Risk Committee. Mr. Lampona Pane, who's from the Department of Energy. Mr. Kumzila Chilani from Eskom. Ambassador Adil Minty from the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. He's now Ambassador to Geneva. Mr. Leslie Gumbi, who's his alternate. And then Mr. Jitesh Kishore, also from the Department of Energy, who is the alternate for Mr. Pane. Fani, I'm back to you with the financial things.
Thank you, Jay. On the next one, just the next slide, sir. Sorry, let's move to yes. Yes. The three biggest risks currently in the NEXA group is our financial resource constraints, the misalignment of human resources with our corporate objectives, and the regulatory capacity constraints resulting in time overruns by the NNNL. Government grant funding, I'll show you in one of the next slides, has been concurrently reduced over the past MTIF periods, placing NEXA on a financial strain and pressure. In terms of the human resources of corporate objectives, during the year under review, NEXA initiated the implementation of a new business model and identified key HR requirements to give effect to the new business model. And NEXA will progressively realize this as policy implementation and commercial opportunity. In terms of the capacity constraints in the NNR, the nuclear industry is characterized by the highest and most stringent regulatory requirements. Compliance with these regulatory requirements requires both NEXA and the operator at the NNR as the regulator to have the skills and the human capital to ensure effective process with minimized turnaround times. In terms of NEXA group financials, the total income for the NEXA group increased by 8.9% from 1.6 million in the previous financial year to 1.7 billion in the current financial year. That, however, do not compensate for the increase in personnel costs and other expenditure, which was on average 12.3%. So basically, that's the reason for NEXA profit reducing from 164 million in the previous year to 129 million in the 2011 financial year. Projected for the current year we're in, We're forecasting a 72 million profit in the Nexa group, and the main reason for that is also the reduction in government grants and the increase in sales income not compensating for the increase in personnel cost and other operating expenses.
Thanks. If I
can
just add to that.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. I think what we'd like to bring to your attention is if you look at the two top lines there, if you look at sales increasing from 2008-09 through to the projection at the end of the financial year that we're in, you'll see that sales have roughly doubled. But the government grant has gone up by maybe 20% over the same period. So what we've been trying to do is to do more with not quite as much. If you look at the inflation over that period, it's probably, I don't know, I haven't worked it out, but it's probably roughly in line with inflation, the government grant, maybe a bit less. But certainly sales have increased fairly significantly. But the big worry, of course, as Fani has pointed out, is dealing with a growing personnel budget. Obviously, you need staff to work to produce sales, but I think that if you take a proportion, if you take a ratio of 424 versus 1151, and then you were to look at 704 versus 1837, I'm uncomfortable with the rate of increase of that staff budget, and we need to address that during the next year, either by increasing income significantly or by some other means. If you look at Nexa Corporate itself, I mean, I've been talking about the group there. If you want to carry on, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. On Nexa Corporate, between the 2010 and 2011 financial year, total income has increased by 10% to 889 million. The total increase in personnel and other operating expenditure was also more or less just below 10%. Therefore, Nexa was still in the position to have a break-even situation in the 2011 financial year. We do, however, foresee a difficult current year, and you'll see the forecast of 58 million loss for Nexa Corporate, mainly due to the government grant only increasing by 9 million in the current 2011-2012 financial year. The operating expenditure and personnel cost are in line with the current year's increases of more or less 10%, but due to the government grant only increasing by 9 million, we foresee a 58 million deficit on that. Nexa, up to date for the past few years, maintained a more or less break-even situation, and there are initiatives in place to see if there's any way we can achieve a break-even in the current year as well.
But the emphasis is very much on the personnel and related expenditure, which has to come down or at least be offset by increased sales or government grants or whatever.
I've spoken about this slide in one of the previous slides. You will see there the first line was the baseline government grant allocated to Nexa Corporate in November 2009 for the period 2010-11 to 2013-14. And then in January 2011 this year, there was a revised baseline grant, and the reduction is quite significant for the 2011 period, starting with 18 million, increasing to 2013-14 to 134 million, which is quite a constraint in the Nexa environment.
So what we did was, one has to plan for the future. What we did was we staffed ourselves up expecting the baseline grant that we, in November 2009, we have since then been cut by 133 million. And so the staff situation that you see at Nexa obtains for an understanding that we had back in 2009 as to how things were going to be. Things haven't, we're not blaming anybody. It's hard times for the country and the world. But that's expenditure were identified relating mainly to penalties and interest. These largely happened in the subsidiaries. Late payment of that in Pharmatops, and that's 152,000, and then 17,000 in sundries on Nexa Corporate, and these matters are stated more explicitly in the annual report. I think some of the 17,000 is speeding fines, which we now have a mechanism to reclaim from staff. There wasn't a policy before to do it. There's now one being created to do that. Finally, I don't know whether you would like to... No, let me start here. I can't call you in. Nexa's mandate was expanded by the publication of the nuclear energy policy in 2008. However, as I've explained, these expanded mandates have not culminated in increased baseline funding. In fact, we've had a cut. With nuclear energy policy implementation, South Africa is required to respond to new electricity generation capacity in the form of the IRP. Misalignment between IRP 2 policy development and the national budget process introduces further challenges. We've had to reprioritize our funding in order to begin preparing for the requirements of the nuclear energy expansion, nuclear fuel cycle, nuclear manufacturing, skills development. We've absorbed PBMR staff, even though we absorbed 50-odd PBMR staff, and we went to Treasury to get compensated for that. To date, we've not been compensated. Despite the increase in expanded mandate, as well as the above requirements, Nexa had its baseline reduced. This is cumulatively, not in one hit, by 270 million over this period. And in the current tough economic climate, our two subsidiaries, NTP and Pelchem, are also under pressure in terms of revenue and profit. So, you know, based on the above, we're not likely to generate surpluses to plow back into the company, as we've already reprioritized. We've looked at efficiencies, tough economic climate, almost all our funds will be fully utilized. Within the approved budget, risks exist regarding the achievement and generation of revenue and new sundry grant allocations as well. What's the road ahead? Our group is well set to continue building on its foundation of good performance. And some of the key activities that will be pursued include nuclear fuel cycle development aligned with the IRP 2010 and Eskom requirements, developing localization capabilities, including ASME 3 certification, which we've now achieved, significant investment to upgrade NTP's quality assurance system, to comply with the latest international good manufacturing practice quality systems, developing a diversified telchem strategy, going away from electronics into pharmaceuticals, or still keeping electronics but diversifying, expanding R&D programs in support of Nexa's core activities and contributing to the national system of innovation, successful completion of a number of industrialization projects, and developing a nuclear security training program. That's a picture of the visitor center from the outside. Thanks very much, Chair. We stand ready to answer questions.
Thank you very much, Nessa, for the elaborate presentation. Now is the time to give over to the members. Honorable Khalida.
Thank you, Chair. There's a number of questions one can ask. The first one, I also sit on the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises, and a question which we would ask, given this kind of report, is this business a growing concern, given the kind of constraints that you're facing? Now, I've always struggled to kind of fully box Nexa in, because I'm not sure if you are considered a public enterprise, if you're considered an R&D, facility, and what the corresponding level of government grants should therefore be in that regard. But what I've seen in this report as well is that you're also talking about that you need to replace the Safari 1 research reactor. what would the cost of replacing that be? And what would the benefit to the country be on over this next 50 years in terms of replacement? Because that's part of the debate that we have to enter into. The other thing is that I think that NEXA needs to be seen probably in the broader context of what South Africa's future around nuclear is going to be. And clearly what you guys are trying to do is gear yourselves up and produce the skills and that to handle the new build. But, you know, this needs to be put into the context as well that, I mean, figures have been thrown around now of 1 trillion rand to build 6 new reactors. You know, NEXA is also going to have to be funded in terms of providing these skills. All of this needs to be put into the hat, and we need to actually debate what our future should be around nuclear energy and specifically the economic viability of this. And I think that's the only way we can come to a thorough understanding of how much NEXA should be funded by government and to what extent it should be supported over the next 20 to 30 years. And I'm just interested to hear your comments regarding that.
Honourable Ross, thank you, Chairperson. Just adding to Lance's concerns, I think he's actually taken many of my questions, but may I just take this opportunity? I was very concerned about the pricing implications of the new build program for the public at large. In terms of the longer term, what will happen to electricity prices? And I can just mention that I'm very pleased with. I made a call to NEXA, and it was a very speedy response from the communications department, and also Mr. Daniel Fury, Chantal, and Daniel, who immediately gave me some information, and I was very pleased with the way this was handled. But if I can just make a comment regarding the pricing, and perhaps if we can have more information, because people will ask us what would the implications be in this. In the longer term. And I know it's going to be a long build process over 16 years, and I'm sure there will be a funding package in terms of also the proposed nuclear build. I'm not sure if we can talk about that. But that is the question that the public are asking. And also about the energy form of choice. Is it necessary that we should build all 6 nuclear plants? What would be the indication? Because I think we are left in the dark currently. We haven't had a clear pronouncement from Cabinet in terms of where we're going to, and the public are asking us questions in this regard, perhaps NEXA or NEXA can give us some indication. I know it's not really the NEXA responsibility in terms of the pricing. I think it's Eskom and the Department of Energy and NERSA that would have to give us some guidance. But currently, Eskom's pricing is based on the NEA, which is Return on Capital Investment, which is about 440, the new build program in terms of coal-fired plants. What would be the addition then and the implications for another trillion rand in terms of nuclear? And how are we going to fund these massive bulk programs? I know there's a low production cost, but it's very cheap to run nuclear. But to get there, how will we fund the future bulk cost? Will it be also the responsibility of the public in terms of tariffs and taxes? Now, that's just a comment. On a positive note, I would just like to make a comment also, Chairperson, in regard to the highlights that we saw today. The treatment of the nuclear waste, which is 31 innovation disclosures. I'm very pleased. If we can have a little bit more information regarding the treatment of nuclear waste, are we moving to a safer situation in terms of the nuclear waste? That's a concern of public also. I would like to give people information regarding that. Shipping out to America and then Falkirk's, sorry, Rob, I think I missed you on that one. If you can just give us just a breakdown of that, what is happening in terms of the shipping out to America and the new license that you acquired in terms of the nuclear waste. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that covered my concerns. There was just something on the financial statements, but I think I'll do that.
There will be chance for a second round. Don't take the ball out now. Honorable Khadra, followed by Honorable Mutau.
Thank you, Chair. I think Ross has been, you know, trying to steal some of my questions, but probably I'll ask it in a different format to be politically correct. I'm trying to get the readiness of NEXA in terms of tapping into the RIP 2010, the readiness in terms of it. But do you still have enough capacity also to tap into the promissories in relation to the nuclear energy? Because I'm just realizing that you are raising first operation in terms of the capacity constraint in human resources. I'm trying also to check in terms of that whether you're able to assist the South Africa. The other question is relating to that your training, your financial training funding is being reduced. I'm trying to check what is your second plan in terms of trying to ensure that is your skills capacity is being addressed, because I can also take notice in terms of your within your risk management aspect that you just mentioned that we had to minimize in terms of the skills development and all that stuff. What are your plans in terms of managing that? The last question relates to your BBBEE percentages. One should say probably I'm pleased to see the figures of 44.5%, but one experience that I come up with in the last week is that this BBBEE aspects comes as a, there are shadow people that are moving with this BEE. People who are fronting with other people, trying to bring correct figures. And one thing that I've discovered is that they will put other people into, major aspects. But when you go and ask the very same individual, what is your awareness? What do you know about this company? What this company is doing, you find that this person doesn't know. What he knows that is I'm accumulating some certain, change that he receives from the solemnly owner of that company. And ultimately, most of the white companies, sorry to say that, white companies, they tend to front with people probably have a little bit of a knowledge around that issue. But when you go deeper into the cut percentages, they are not equal. But because they managed to go and get a BBBEE certification, that will give you an analysis to say it is a BBBEE company. It's one of the other challenges that also a challenge. The other question was related to
thank you very much, and sorry for the delay and for circumstances. I have one question that's bugging me all the time, and going through the big document obviously doesn't come out clearly, and I can hear the issues that you raise and the sustainability issues and stuff like that. But for me, the real fundamental question is touches on something that both my colleagues have touched on. In an ideal world, where does Nexa see itself relative to evolution and development of IRP 2010? In other words, what would Nexa like to be doing in this regard? Thanks.
I wonder if Honorable Lucas would like to buy it as well.
Thank you, Chair. I think if I don't touch on waste, it wouldn't be, which is one of my pet subjects, and I've been very concerned about it. And I realize there's a lot of being done. And what would be comforting if we think, and what's really causing concern is the government grant being reduced. Will we be able to do more research in that connection? Because we need to do a final. How is this waste eventually going to end up? Are we going to leave it to our great-grandchildren or whatever? So that is important. And then this transporting of the waste back to the U.S. What surety are we going to have that they're not going to develop going to the weapon industry with it? Because Big Brother does some things which one has to worry about. But the major concern is there's a lot of good that has been done. I like that apprenticeship because this brings real food to the table. People learn how to work. People get a proper training. And I think we should encourage this. And with the grant being coming down, it most probably will have to affect it somehow. And the other thing is, as professional people, how are we going to make sure we keep these people? Because things are certainly going to change. And if you let them go now, it's going to be difficult to get them back later. Or if you get them back, it will be at a higher price. So I think we should think how we can keep this going, how we can keep those employees going, so we can, because this company actually has done quite a bit of work. It's unfortunate that the decision was taken to reduce the grant. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First, one of my member Hrang's questions, which I think relates quite closely to the questions asked by Honourable Member McDowell as well. In a larger system, for example, France, we have 58 power reactors, a major research program. What you have is a nuclear research organization, the CEA, and then a commercial nuclear technology company pretty much owned by the state. That's a river. And then the EDF, which is the operator of the plants. In the fullness of time, you might well have something like that in South Africa too, where, for example, the fuel cycle activities, enrichment, fuel manufacture, and then also reactor component manufacture took place in a commercial company. And then you had something like a science council, a CSIR type organization, a Mintec, which did the nuclear research. Now the judgment call is, when do you do that? Because it's also not in the interest of the state or of the sector to create, and excuse the pun, a number of subcritical smaller organizations. So I think at this point, what the focus of Parliament should be is to interrogate different portions of Nexa. We've tried at this stage to separate the commercial work largely into subsidiaries. But you can't create a subsidiary instantly, just as you can't create a functioning adult instantly. That adult has to go through childhood and teenage years, etc. So if you make a viable company out of state-funded technology, you can't just one day not have it and then the next day have it. There's got to be an industrialization phase. So all of the Nexa commercial unsubsidized enterprises that exist today in NTP and Pelchem grew up under the umbrella of a subsidized Nexa. So in other words, Nexa produced the technology which has resulted in sound commercial activity which is unsubsidized. If you look at nuclear manufacturing, that's what's happening to that today. It's not quite profitable yet, but the trajectory is very much in that direction. So within a couple of years, if the new build takes off, you won't see another Nexa subsidiary in nuclear manufacturing there, which will operate on commercial lines. Now, at some point, government might decide, well, okay, let's separate these things entirely. Let's have a commercial group, and then let's have a research organization. Let's make the commercial group Schedule 2 in terms of the PFMA, or even partly privatize it. Let's have a public offering. And then keep the research part separate, which is, for example, what the situation is in Korea, France, and the United United States and elsewhere, where you have a clear separation between companies that are supposed to perform commercially and others that draw from the fiscus, because that's what happens around the world. It's considered to be best practice for governments to fund long lead research and development. That's not a South African thing. It's not an indication of failure. Funding research is something that governments do. It's not a failure on the part of those governments. It's the right thing to do. Now, again, I'm jumping a little bit and linking this with the question asked by Mr. Mutal. What will Nexa do in the IRP? Two things. Maybe more than two, but let me just leave you with two things. The fuel cycle. In other words, Nexa should concentrate on ensuring long-term provision of nuclear fuel for the new reactors. Already there are discussions that have happened with Eskom, where Eskom recognizes this. The reason that you want to do that rather than import fuel is that uranium is a globally strategic resource. The technologies that you need to develop the fuel are in part dual-use technologies. People don't let you get your hands on them. If you don't, and I'm not saying you need to invent them yourself, but if you don't at least have some control over their operation, over the 60-year lifetime of operating a nuclear power plant, all kinds of things can happen in the world. The world can change in 2 months, as we saw in North Africa. Over 60 years, which is the time that a power plant takes to operate, the world can change unimaginably. And so, if you rely on nuclear power, there's no point in relying on it unless you can also rely on a fuel supply. And so, that's the one thing that Nexa should do. What's the second thing? Nexa should lead in terms of localization. Clearly, there'll be many other companies that will contribute towards creating jobs and localization. But what Nexa has been able to do is get this important ATOME 3 certification. What it should do is position South Africa in terms of the new build to spend as much as it can over the time that it takes to build 6 reactors in South Africa. It won't do it with its own money necessarily, with state money. It will lead the other companies, and I won't name them because I don't want to do a commercial for those companies. But there are many other high-tech companies that could benefit from that certification that's been obtained by Nexa to put their own balance sheets to work with us towards creating products and jobs. So two things, fuel, manufacturing. That's what it should do. And then, of course, I dealt with the research, the three things. What about the new reactor that Honourable McRaelin raised? We shouldn't ask the government for money for the reactor, is my view. That reactor should be funded out of accumulated profits and savings by NTP and by the anticipated revenue from selling the isotopes. It would be wrong for the South African taxpayer to subsidize, for example, the American pharmaceutical industry and the European or Japanese, because only about 1% of the radioisotopes produced at Pearl and Harbor are actually consumed in South Africa. It's an export industry. And the justification for that industry has to be that it is sustainable. And so, and this is what's happening at the moment, we're not asking the government for a new reactor. What we're saying is we'll do an environmental impact assessment in terms of the law that we're subject to, the PFMA, the Nuclear Energy Act. We'll have to ask for permission to do this. But asking for permission is not the same as asking for money. That particular part of Nexa's operations, I'm quite confident, is fundable in terms of revenue streams obtainable in the market. We've had the discussions with the IDC, with the banks. terms of current pricing, it's doable. What should happen after that with the Safari after it comes to the end of its Fluence lifetime? Fluence means how many neutrons pass through the reactor. There's a limit in terms of the license. That reactor should be refurbished and set aside for research purposes. So, in other words, you'd have a commercial reactor producing radioisotope, which is funded commercially. Nexa might well go to government for funds to refurbish the old reactor to be used for research purposes, and that would be a different discussion. The cost of the new build, I can state categorically that the trillion rand is not what's currently being charged for the size of build that we are anticipating. It's about, you know, if you look at the current asking prices, and United Arab Emirates, Korea was a bit lower than this. Finland is a bit higher. But you're looking at $5,000 a kilowatt installed. Maybe a bit less, maybe 4,000. So altogether, if you do the arithmetic, you're ending up with a program a bit over 300 million rand, 400 on the top side. So the trillion rand, I think, is not accurate. It sounds, looks, it's a nice headline, but it's not accurate. The trick in nuclear is structuring the funding. Currently, Kuburg paid off. Nobody says this often enough. People don't say this often enough. It's Eskom's cash cow. It's the biggest money earner on Eskom's balance sheet because it's cheap to operate. So once you pay the reactor off, if you look at the United States generating costs for nuclear, lower than anything else, that's because most of the reactors there have been paid off. There hasn't been a new reactor built for a long time. They're busy building some now. The trick is to deal with the funny cost structure. If you look at gas, gas is cheap to build but quite expensive to operate. So that you only tend to turn the gas on during peaking periods when you really need the power. Coal is kind of average. You know, it's, coal costs quite a bit. You burn every power station the size of Kuburg, you'll burn 5 million tons of coal a year. A lot of coal. The trick is to get a financial institution with deep enough pockets to see you through over the period that you need to have the money for. And I think that's where the framework has to succeed. Because if Eskom and government go out on tender and then later look for the money, that's going to be hard. And again, I'm not part of this process now. This is a DPE, DOE, Eskom thing. But my advice would be do the thing together and make sure that the vendors come with the money and do it within the tariff. And those are the constraints. You know, the tariff, we've got 3 increases over the next couple of years. Nothing more being given. But unless that has to be the constraint, that you do it within the current projected tariff and you come with your financial institute in tow. And this bank then guarantees that the money will be provided within this package for the period that is required. And so, in a sense, the project becomes self-funding within the existing tariff. That would be the way I would do it. But, yeah. The United States issue, let me just clarify that. What happened was that the original contract that we had with the U.S. when they gave us as part of the Eisenhower Atoms for Peace program the Safari reactor was that the fuel still belonged to them. They provided it, and in the fullness of time, it was due to go back to them, and that happened this year. Could you use it to make weapons Well, there are much cheaper ways to do that. You know, and furthermore, it's there in a pond at Savannah River, and you can go see it. So, you know, in theory, but you know, given the fact that currently both Russia and America are in a disarmament phase, and they've got tons and tons and tons of fresh, highly enriched uranium, to go to the expense of extracting highly enriched uranium from spent fuel is just not sensible. You know, so you know, I mean, the reason that the United States wants the spent fuel back is that they see it as their responsibility, and ultimately, you know, uranium has a half-life of millions of years, and so over those millions of years, they wouldn't want it to get into the hands of some group. That's their motivation, in my view. So it was part of the original contract for the provision of the reactor, was that the fuel that they provided ultimately went back there. And we've not complied with that. Issue of skills, you know, one of the things about getting skills is that you have to excite people with the program. You can train people. But until the point comes where you're really doing something, that training doesn't really take off because not enough people want to do it. I mean, young people get inspired by exciting things. Once this new build takes off, I don't think you'll have a problem. You may have a short-term problem in getting enough high-quality matriculants into your university programs, etc. But once you see the excitement of a big high-tech program like that, I think it will propel itself. You know, if you look at what happened in mining engineering at WITS, you know, once the Department of Mineral Resources was DME, once they applied themselves to transforming mining, once young black matriculants saw the opportunities in the mining sector open up, they went for this thing. And you saw maybe 15 years ago mining engineering at WITS being a faltering department. Now it's flying, you know, because it seemed rightly or wrongly, I have my own views about mining, but rightly or wrongly, as a sector which there's opportunity in. And once you see that happening, the people will join. The fronting in BBBE, you know, one has internal auditing processes for looking at this type of thing, and you trust the companies that perform the BBBE ratings to be honest. I'm sure things slip through the cracks. You know, fronting is an ongoing problem in any policy where you know, certain types of behavior are advantaged. There are going to be people who look for gaps. And one relies on whistleblowing, one relies on auditing. I'm sure we don't catch everything, but you know, there's a constructive approach towards trying to do that. Finally, waste research. You know, if you look at the NEXA research budget, certainly the largest part of it is aimed at waste research, waste processing, etc. And I would agree that without at least a closed business plan for dealing with high-level waste, spent fuel, etc., there's a question over the industry which needs to be addressed. And you know, it's not that one doesn't have the technology. Each country is different. And ultimately, and this is the job of the National Waste Disposal Institute, they need to come up with a high-level waste repository. It's not that difficult. It can be done. But I think that's probably the first task that institute needs to be held to, is to find a plan for that. Thanks, Simon. Chair, I think I've answered the questions that were asked the first time around. I don't know whether there's any member here who wants to answer.
Thank you, Dexter. Honorable members, we will still get that opportunity to play into this arena and come up with a second round of questions. At this stage, I would like to break for tea, and we can come back at quarter past.